Okay, well, welcome back, everyone. It's been kind of rough, hasn't it? A lot of sickness. So let's do pray for our missionaries. As I mentioned, Brother Scholl says in Greenland that there's hundreds and hundreds of Greenlanders that are sick. And he was going to go visit someone this week, and they said, well, maybe you better not come. So a lot of the people are really, really fearful of it up there. It sounds like it's the exact same thing that's here. And Brother Needham has it, so I suspect that others in the church there have it. And then Brother Ronk says half of their church, and that was in earlier this week, half of their church is down with it. So pray for him and Sister Annette. I haven't heard from the Snyders in Honduras if it's there. I did read that it's down in Antarctica, though. And it kind of puzzled them because they said no one had been in or out. So I guess it's just in the air. So it's everywhere. So pray for each other. Any other special requests on your heart this morning? Oh, yes. Pray for Todd Snyder. Yesterday he was sitting on a bed, but tried to get up and was really dizzy, so which I can understand. It's been down a long time. Pray also for Nate, that I believe it was Brenda was asking us to pray for in the hospital, and he's still not doing too good. So pray for him. Sister Leah is in rehab now, out of the hospital. So pray for her. I'll pray for Sister Ivala as well for encouragement. Remember Pastor Jeremy and the family. I don't know how slippery the roads were headed to Needmore this morning, but the back roads are still a little slippery. So, okay. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Okay, let's take our Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So as we start this new year, think about trying to put God first. And how exactly does that look, putting God first in this life? Does that mean we should all just stop working and just stare into the sky, looking for the Lord's return? I was reading that in a town called Texarkana, on the border of Texas and Arkansas, they recently had a strange rain. How many of you have ever heard someone say it was raining cats and dogs? Okay. How many of you ever heard that it was raining fish? Okay, you probably read the story too, didn't you? Well, it rained fish in Texarkana, and it's not the first time something like that has happened, but obviously it's from when water spouts go over the ocean, or it could be a lake, but there probably the ocean. And tornadoes can pick up pieces of houses and pieces of barns, and they could even pick up cars and throw them away. So anyway, sometimes it's happened the same thing, that places on land it will rain fish, And because the water spout is over the water and gathers up some fish, and eventually what goes up must come down. Brother Barry always told me flying is not dangerous, it's just landing that's dangerous. So I guess that happens with fish too. So anyway, there was some pictures of fish all over in parking lots and so on from an obvious storm that went out over the ocean. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. But that does remind us some strange sights are coming. I was talking to a business owner here in Greenville this week and about the whole COVID thing and what is coming. Pestilences are coming in the tribulation period, and I just believe that it's God trying to wake people up. There's so many likenesses. You know, in the tribulation period, you'll not be able to buy or sell without the mark. And, you know, this whole COVID thing, it's like some places are so strict, you know, they don't want you in their store without a mask or a vaccination. And you can just see so many parallels that the Lord is prepping this world for what is coming, but many are not listening, sadly. But in Luke 21, and it'll begin in verse 25, Luke 21, 25. And could I have a volunteer, one of you guys, to read verses 25 through 28. So Luke 21, 25 through 28. Brother Tim? Okay, so when those things start to happen, the Bible says to look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So interesting things happening there in verse 25, signs in the sun. And of course, it wasn't too many weeks ago, they were saying there was going to be a sun flare and that it could affect communications. And so when something like that happens, they talk, it will give you a little bit of history, and they talk about sun flares and the bursts of radiation that can head toward Earth. And so they talk about certain ones in the past that if we were so electronically oriented as we are today, back in history a ways, we probably would have had a lot of communications destroyed from those radiation bursts. And it just shows us how frail our whole system is. I mean, can you imagine a world without cell phones right now? And not just here. In Haiti, it's that way. I mean, way up on the plateau, a place that I never thought would see power, electricity in my life. They've got electricity. They have cell phones. I asked Brother Wall once, I said, where do these people get the money to buy cell phones? And he says, well, when they want something bad enough, it's like anyone else. They'll sell a goat or something and get it. And I asked the question, well, who do they call? Well, gradually it's increased, and so I guess probably a lot of them have cell phones now. But and then there was no place to plug in for most people to charge a cell phone, so there were solar charging stations, solar-powered, and it's just amazing. The same thing the Helzermans in Papua New Guinea, he was talking about, and I know in their location, many times he'd have to go up on the mountain a ways just to get reception to be able to communicate with his cell phone. But all kinds of people there, and it just every place I go, it just seems like most everyone, if they're not busy, they're on their cell phone looking at something or texting someone, something. It's just everywhere. But in a moment of time, all of that could be wiped out. Can you imagine how bored the people of this world would be if suddenly all cell phones were just destroyed? Now, how would that be? You know, I don't know if you're in the market for a new vehicle, but if you are, it's pretty hard to find one right now because of the shortage of computer chips. Can you imagine a world where there was an electronic or a burst of radiation from a sun flare that wiped out all electronics? Could you imagine trying to get a cell phone if everyone's had been destroyed? Can you imagine the backlog? How long it would take? I mean, I don't know when they're ever going to catch up with the vehicles now. I think about what happened to the 2020 vehicles that never got computer chips. And then all last year that didn't get them. And it's like, what is happening with all these vehicles? What are they going to do with them? Who's going to want them? I saw a little ad talked about getting 2020 vehicles for a little of nothing. Of course, their little of nothing is probably still many thousands of dollars. But just imagine a world like that. Well, there are things coming upon this world, verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun. And that's what I'm talking about, solar flares. And I don't know what all signs might be. And in the moon. And in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. You know, as technologically advanced as we are, they're still finding at the last minute asteroids headed close to Earth. And it's like they're saying, we didn't know this was coming. Does that illustrate anything? Yes. They don't know what's coming, just like with the floods. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. If you hold your place here in Luke, turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Let's read 42 through 44. So we're in Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Could I have a volunteer, you guys, to read that? Brother Jim? Okay. Okay, so people are not going to be prepared, even though it's been spoken for a long time. If you back up a little bit here, 37 through 39. Can I have a volunteer for Matthew 24, 37 through 39? Brother Barry? That's pretty amazing. Verse 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Can you imagine? Noah was building a ship. I don't know if it was in his backyard. I don't know where it was, but I presume close to his house. He was building a ship a football field and a half long. So 450 feet long, three stories high. It was 45 feet high, so it'd be from the ground to the tip of the steeple out front. So it'd be kind of hard to hide a boat that big. Football field and a half long. As tall as the steeple, tip to the steeple, as wide as the church almost. The ark was 75 feet wide. The building here is 80 feet wide. So that would be huge. And yet the Bible says these people knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So they're seeing this huge ship being built on dry land. They're hearing Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching about it. And they had about 100 years. And yet, the Bible says they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And it says, verse 37, As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So just think of all the preaching and teaching that has gone forth that there is coming a man of sin, the Antichrist, that's going to make people get a mark or his sign or the number of his name, and is going to make people get this if they want to buy or sell. And yet, how many people is it going to happen and they're going to say, well, whether they say it or not, they're totally ignorant of it. They didn't believe it. They thought it was just crazy talk. And yet, it's going to come to pass. So back in Luke chapter 21, there will be signs, 21:25, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. You can just see distress of nations just over this COVID thing. It's just amazing. Australia has turned into like a Nazi concentration camp of World War II over this COVID thing, hauling people away from their homes. It's just amazing what is happening. Distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So, you know, in Greenland there, Brother Shull said, sometimes when a huge chunk will come off from the glacier, it'll hit the water and be like a tidal wave on land and can destroy many things. He sent some pictures once that showed just the aftermath, how it can just wipe houses right out and produce just a huge wave. So the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear, not knowing what is going to happen. You can kind of just see it with this whole COVID thing. It's like, well, like Brother Shull said in Greenland there, you know, you want to go visit a family, they're terrified. If they listen to the news, if that's where they get their information, they're terrified. So they're simply terrified of what is coming. So what should we do in this time? Well, we shouldn't just stand around looking up in the sky, although the Bible tells of a time there when you see these things happen, lift up your heads, look for your redemption, draw nigh. So what should we do? Well, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. What should we be doing during these days? 2 Thessalonians 3, and let's start in verse 5. And actually, before we start there, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And could I have a volunteer? Let's see. Well, I guess, Luke, you had your hand up before. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. Okay, so Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica and telling them about the Lord is going to come. What's going to happen? Well, verse 16, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So if the meeting is going to be in the clouds, well, that probably is an area that people would be looking at the clouds. And so he writes this letter, and then let's go to 2 Thessalonians. So he writes this letter telling about the Lord's return, and so some of the people in Thessalonica really got on this matter and thought, you know, the Lord is coming. And so we need to be watching. So how were they watching? Well, now let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Let's break this up a little bit here. How about a volunteer for 5 through 7? 2 Thessalonians 3, 5 through 7. Brother Barry, 5 through 7. How about 8 through 10? Brother Jim, 8 through 10. Let's see, Brother Tim, I see your hand. How about 11 through 13? Okay, 11 through 13. Okay, let's read this. Okay, so let's back up to verse 5. So he tells them here, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So we know he's coming. The promise is he's coming. But when? We do not know exactly when. So he tells them, listen, be patient in your waiting for Christ. And then he goes on in verse 6. He begins to deal with a problem that had happened in Thessalonica. The first letter, 1 Thessalonians, he tells them the Lord is going to come. In 2 Thessalonians, he writes another letter and has to deal with the problem because some were not even working. Well, Paul said the Lord's coming, so don't have to work. So he says, verse 6, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Well, what was the tradition? Well, Paul worked. Wherever Paul went, he worked and met the needs of his own. With his own hands, he worked and met his needs. Verse 7, for yourselves know how you ought to what? Follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. What does he mean about disorderly? Well, verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. And when we send out missionaries, we still go with this principle that the missionaries do not take an income from the churches they start there on the field. Because they don't, the missionary, and nor do we, want them to think that we're just sending Americans there to take their jobs and their money. And so we send them fully supported. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. So Paul clearly said that those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel, but he did not use that where he was going to these mission works because he didn't want people to think he was just doing it for their money. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So these people took it serious that the Lord was coming back, but what were they doing? Well, hey, if the Lord's coming back, I'm not going to work my job. He's coming back anytime. I'm just going to, what, fellowship with the brethren all the time? Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they what? They work and eat their own bread. So, okay, he talks about the verse 5, the patient waiting for Christ. Okay, well then what are we supposed to do in our waiting for him? Well, verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in what? Well-doing. So God doesn't want us just sitting around talking about his coming. God wants us to be busy and well-doing until he comes. And is that not what we read about the servants who received the talents, those who were busy using the abilities and talents and gifts that God had given them, he comes back and says, well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. And so that's what we need to do. Verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. How many of you have been ever in your life really busy and really tired? Anyone ever face that? Sure. Yeah. But you know, in the Lord, serving the Lord, we should never complain, should we? You know, we should be so thankful that there is something to do for the Lord. You know, this whole COVID thing the last year and a half, or I suppose pretty soon it's going to be going on 2 years, isn't it? In this last bit, you know, a lot of times churches have been closed down for periods of time. But you know what? During this time, there has been so much. The Lord's given us so much to do. Doing these DVDs for these nursing homes, and it's really been a time of great busyness. But praise God that we can have a little part in God's great work. But we shouldn't be busy just to be busy. Notice in Luke 10, Luke chapter 10. Of course, just being busy does not mean we have a good relationship with Christ. Now, I can be very busy trying to earn a living, and at the same time, I can bring home, Lord willing, some money for my family, but my wife wouldn't appreciate it if I was just bringing home money and had no relationship with her. The same with the children. So we don't want to be busy just to be busy, because that doesn't necessarily mean that we have a good relationship with our Savior. But he does tell us not to be weary in well-doing. But to get a balance here is what I'm thinking about. Luke 10, verse 38. Can I volunteer to read 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Brother Luke.
Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.
Okay, so let's back up here. In verse 38, who was the one that took the initiative to invite Jesus to come to their house? I think somebody said it. Martha did. Okay, so verse 38. It was Martha. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So it was Martha that saw Jesus coming, and why don't you come to our house? Okay, so verse 39. But Martha has a sister, and what is her name? Mary. So Jesus is at their house, and Mary is just sitting at his feet, hearing him. But verse 40, Martha was what? Cumbered about much serving. Okay, so what was her good point? She was hospitable. She invited Jesus to come to their house. So Jesus comes, and then it just kind of grinding her inside that Mary is just sitting listening to him while she's doing all the work. And we know she was doing more work than was really necessary, because the Bible tells us she was cumbered about much serving. You know, it's kind of like going to a restaurant and like every few minutes a waiter or waitress comes by and says, you know, can I fill your glass? Can I refill your glass? There's a certain point which is nice and convenient, and then there's a certain point which it can be just cumbersome. You know, if your glass still is 3/4 full, you probably don't need a refill quite yet. So Martha was cumbered about. Her focus was just, all these little details. And then what happened is, verse 40, she said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Listen, our rewards or lack of rewards someday is going to depend upon the sort of them, 1 Corinthians 3. So do we have the right motive? So in other words, if I invite someone to my house and then I'm seeing someone else not helping, now I'm bordering on losing my reward someday because I'm letting it get me that somebody else is not helping me. And so we always have to watch our hearts. We just need to be joyful and doing whatever we can. I didn't get a new church cleaning thing put up. I guess it was last week. And so my wife noticed that no one was on. And I said, well, the reason no one is on is because I failed to get a new sheet up. That's why no one was on. So we defaulted. Okay. So anyway, my wife got her work done here cleaning the church earlier in the week. And so, my part was supposed to be the vacuuming and the mopping of floors. And it came to last night, and so I was recording for extended care. And I was recording someone else. I won't give you their name. But I was recording someone else, and so I was supposed to meet here at a certain time. And when I got here to record them, he was vacuuming. And I said, "You didn't have to do that." And he said, "This place was a mess. It was dirty." And it was, tracking in salt, But he was vacuuming away. And so we recorded for the message that he had for the extended care. And then I was finishing up some things in the sound booth on that recording, and vacuum switches on again. And so he's back at it. And so he did all the vacuuming, and so I got the mopping done. But, we're actually really close here. Look at chapter 10, Luke 10. Luke 10, and our time is up, so I'll just go ahead and read this. Luke 10, 1, "After these things, the Lord appointed others 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the what? Labors are few. Complain ye therefore to the Lord." Is that what your Bible says? No, what does it say? Pray. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would" what? "Send forth laborers into his harvest." So, I wasn't complaining in my heart about that work that needed yet to be done. And you know what? The Lord just graciously had somebody else notice, and he did a vast amount of work that I should have done. And so, in this new year, number one, let's be watching for the Lord's return. He could come at any moment. So that's number one. Watch for his coming. But number two, let's not sit idle while we're waiting. Remember, he said the patient waiting for Christ. So watch for the Lord's return. Number two, let's not be idle. And number three, let's not complain about whatever workload you have. It might be light sometimes, it might be heavy, but let's not complain. Let's be thankful that we have something that we can do for the Lord. So may it be a fruitful year, watching for his coming, patiently waiting for it, and occupying till he comes. And then let's not complain. Let's be joyful Christians, joyful Christians. I was in the post office Saturday with the order, Saturday morning, and the clerk kind of seemed a little hectic there at first when I come in. And, you know, I just started talking about the Lord. And, you know, by the time I left, the joy of the Lord was on her face. So let's praise God and just see the joy he gives to people around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for something to do, Lord, for you. Something to occupy till you come. We thank you, Lord, that for every believer, you have given each of us spiritual gifts. And Lord, I know that many times we might not even recognize what those gifts are, but we know that other times we often see what other people's gifts are. We can see the blessing of the Lord in certain areas of their lives. We see what brings them joy doing for your name. And so, Lord, I pray this would be a fruitful year. Help us not to be focused on the things of the world, but to be focused on you and on your coming. But, Lord, help us not to be idle, just sitting around. Help us to be serving. And, Lord, help us to have the joy of the Lord. Help us to have the right motives, the right hearts. Not complaining that the Marys are not helping us, but just joyful that you've come to our house, that you've come into our hearts, and you've saved us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to serve. May it be a fruitful year. May it be a year that, in light of eternity, will bear much fruit and much reward. We pray in Jesus' name.